Hi everyone, my name is Alvin. I'm a discipleship pastor here at HDBB, and I'm glad to be able to share God's word with you today. Now, I remember one time when I was at Polytechnic, I attended a lecture. It was a pretty big lecture with about 500 people attending. So I ate my breakfast, ran up, went inside the auditorium, and sat down with my classmates. Suddenly, my stomach felt a little bit strange, and then it started to hurt. But, you know, the speaker was in the middle of his speech, so I just sat there obediently. Then I felt like a warm breeze was about to pass through, so I let it pass. But my stomach was still a little bit upset, so when the break came, I went to the toilet. As soon as I entered the toilet, I realized that my pants and my underwear was completely soiled. And then I just spontaneously just yelled in the restroom, "Oh no!" And then I cleaned up my pants and my underwear as best as I could, and then I went back into the auditorium. As soon as I entered the auditorium, the entire auditorium turned to look at me. And I was just a bit shocked, and I thought to myself, why did everyone turn around? Could it be that they all knew what happened in the toilet? So I quietly went back to my seat, and as soon as the lecture was over, I hurried home. I mean, on one hand, it was because my pants were dirty. But on the other hand, it was because I felt so ashamed and I just didn't want to see anyone. I just wanted to hide inside my room. And I don't know whether if you've ever felt this way. Maybe it's because you were ashamed because you did something that's really embarrassing like I did. Or maybe you're ashamed because maybe you've hurt people and you're not sure if you can face them. Or maybe you're ashamed because you've made some mistakes and you're ashamed to come before other people and before God. I saw a testimony on Instagram a while ago. There was a lady who, during a challenging time in her faith journey, decided to rebel against God for 2 weeks and live in sin. And after those 2 weeks, she struggled with shame for the next 2 years. And she described how it felt as if her heart was just tied up inside of her chest, closed off. She didn't want to see anyone when she came to church. She had no friends. No one knew what was going on. And she felt as if there was nothing left to her but bones. And there was no joy left in her life. And I wonder if you've experienced this kind of shame. And I wonder, perhaps, if you're dealing with that kind of shame right now. Last week was Holy Week, and we went through Good Friday, when Jesus was crucified, and Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. But during Holy Week, all the disciples betrayed Jesus. And when Jesus was arrested, every single one of them forsook Jesus and ran away. And Simon Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times when he was questioned. Not only that, but after Jesus' resurrection, they went back to the marketplace as fishermen and abandoned their ministry. And in today's passage, while they were fishing, they met the risen Jesus. And I'm sure Peter would have felt ashamed, guilty, disgraced, wanted to hide from Jesus. How did Jesus respond to Peter's shame? Let's have a look at our passage today from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, You know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So our first point for today is that Jesus' resurrection shows that Jesus wants us to be restored. Jesus wants us to be restored. Jesus overcame death and he can overcome our shame. You know, sometimes we're ashamed because we're afraid. You know, if people really knew how weak and imperfect I am, would they accept me? Sometimes we also put such thoughts on God as well. You know, if God knew how weak and imperfect I am, would he accept me? But God knows the worst, the weakest, the most imperfect parts of us, and yet he loves us anyway. You know, there's no sin that can surprise God, even though it may surprise us. There's no sin that can surprise God and separate us from his love. You know, God knows the worst, the weakest, the most imperfect parts of us, but he loves us and accepts us anyway. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God doesn't just know the worst parts of us. He also knows the best parts of us. You know, when the other disciples found out that Peter had betrayed Jesus, they might have been surprised. They might have said, oh, if Peter was capable of denying Jesus like that, who knows what other sins he was hiding inside? He might even be a false disciple. But Jesus knew Peter's heart and Jesus knew Peter's love. Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So God knows the worst of us. God knows the best of us. He knows everything about us. And he loves us, accepts us, and wants to restore us. You know, and the resurrection is a sign that we can be restored. So don't miss this chance. Don't let shame stop you from receiving restoration. You know, I personally believe that even Judas, if he had returned to Jesus' feet, he would have been forgiven and restored by Jesus. But because he could not face his shame, he took his own life before Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is a sign that we can be restored. He loves you and he wants you to be restored. So don't let shame keep you from receiving that restoration. So first, Jesus' resurrection is a sign that he wants us to be restored. Secondly, Jesus brings restoration by changing us. Jesus wants to restore and change us from the deepest depths of our shame to become better people. Let's look at Peter's shame for a moment. You know, Matthew 26 puts it this way. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. So here we see Peter confidently declaring that he will never deny Jesus. Now that night, as Jesus was taken away into the high priest's residence, Peter followed at a distance. And there was a group of men who had built a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they were sitting together, and Peter was sitting with them. And one said to Peter that he was with Jesus, but Peter denied it. And then another said the same thing. And another said the same thing. And then Peter denied Jesus three times. And when he denied Jesus the third time, the rooster crowed. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, if we knew how bad and imperfect we are, perhaps we wouldn't be too surprised or unable to accept it when we make a mistake. But most of us, we don't know how bad we really are. So when we sin, we're surprised. And that's when Satan attacks us, saying that, oh, you've sinned, you have no chance of living a victorious, happy Christian life, so why not just keep on sinning? But this is not true. Even though we have sinned, we can still have a fulfilling Christian life, and we don't need to continue to sin or be immersed in guilt. Instead, we can repent and move toward change and restoration. We can move toward God. And as we move toward God, we realize that God is actually already moving towards us. Jesus pursues those who fall. Maybe you think, he's not going to pursue me. But Jesus is the one who loves those whose thoughts, words, and actions deny him. He is constantly pursuing those who are like Peter, wanting them to repent and receive change and restoration. How does Jesus restore us? God challenges us from our weakest point in order to strengthen us from our weakest point. You know, Peter betrayed Jesus when Jesus needed him most, denying him 3 times before a fire. So Jesus restored Peter 3 times before a fire. Did Jesus not know that Peter loved him before he asked him 3 times? Of course he knew. But he asked 3 times, not for his own sake, but for Peter's sake. And it's interesting that in the original text, the first 2 times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" And the Bible used the word agape, which means a divine, a perfect, a sacrificial love. And Peter answered, "You know that I love you." And the Bible uses phileo, brotherly love. But when Jesus asked the 3rd time, Jesus used phileo, brotherly love. The Bible says Peter was grieved because he, Jesus, said to him the 3rd time, "Do you love me? Do you phileo me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you." In other words, it seems like Peter was saying, "Lord, you know that I love you. I wish with all my heart that I could say that I have that divine, perfect agape love for you. But I find that, you know, I can't trust myself anymore because I've been saying too much and doing too little. Jesus, I'm sorry that you need to be reduced to my kind of earthly phileo love. But, you know, this is the best that I have. This is the best that I can do. You know my heart. You know everything. And you know that I love you." And it was at that point when he was able to be honest with himself and completely open and vulnerable with Jesus, that Jesus was able to change him from his heart and liberate him to receive freedom. And more than that, when Peter opened himself vulnerably to Jesus, Jesus, in his grace and love, gave him a mission. And here's our 3rd point. Jesus brings restoration by giving us a mission. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus restored Peter, not just by changing him, but also by giving him a mission and assuring him that he still had a role to play in the kingdom of God. You know, when the love of Jesus changed Peter, he could imagine a new future, a future of freedom from his shame. It was complete restoration, not just freedom from past sins and present shame, but a hope, a vision, and a mission for the future. And more than that, Jesus' mission was a guarantee that he would continue to be with Peter, continue giving him strength, provision, blessing to ensure that his mission will be accomplished. And what was Jesus' mission to Peter? "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep." you know, and God fills you with His love, you're able to not just love God, you're also able to love other people with God's love. And of course, we know that Peter will eventually become the leader of the church. He'll become the first bishop of the church. And this is also a reminder to everyone who serves in church, including myself. You know, whether you're a pastor or a small group leader, or you're making an impact behind the scenes, or you're welcoming people in front of the church, you know, whatever your position of ministry, Jesus reminds us that the foundation of ministry is love. Jesus asks us today, do you love me? Then He sends us out to serve Him with His love, to love those we serve. You know, loving those we serve, I mean, this can be a little challenging for some of us. You know, when you've been in church for a while, you realize that people can be quite strange creatures. You know, we have funny little ideas, habits, ways of speaking. And as you serve longer in the ministry, you realize that everyone has something unlovable about them. In spite of this, we see Jesus' love for them. How tenderly and compassionately He calls them, my lambs, my sheep. You know, just like how Jesus mentioned in Matthew 9, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know, so interesting. Jesus saw people who were troubled and helpless. We see people who trouble us. Why is that? I believe it's because while we only see people's outward appearance and behavior, Jesus sees their hearts. He sees their spiritual struggles. He sees the destruction that Satan and sin have wrought in their lives. Therefore, He had compassion on them. And you know, the same way that Jesus had compassion on Peter, Jesus has compassion on us. And He wants to give us that same kind of love and compassion to the people that we meet and we minister to. This is the mission that Jesus gave to Peter. And this is the mission that Jesus gives to us today. What kind of mission is Jesus putting on your heart today? Maybe He's challenging you to take a step of faith, to become a spiritual leader. Maybe He's challenging you to begin your journey of serving God. Or maybe He's challenging you to love, to have mercy, and to restore those around you. Or perhaps just a person, one particular person in your life. Whatever shame you may be facing today, the challenge is to accept God's mission for your life and receive His restoration today. So to conclude, no matter what shame you're facing right now, Jesus' resurrection shows us that He wants us to be restored. And He brings that restoration by changing us. And He also brings that restoration by giving us a mission. And when we receive this change, when we receive this mission, and we experience this restoration, we will ourselves be filled with God's love. So, let's open our hearts to Him today. Let's pray. I invite you to stretch out your hands like me, close your eyes, and just say this very simple prayer with me. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm praying, and the sense I'm getting is that perhaps as I was sharing this message, God may be just confronting some of you about a shame that you have in your life that perhaps is preventing you from being vulnerable before God, perhaps even preventing you from just meeting people, coming to church, just finding community again because you're afraid and you're of what people may discover about you. And the word that came to my mind is fireplace. And perhaps the fireplace is, it represents that place of shame for you right now. And the sense I have, the question I have is, where is your fireplace? Where is your place of shame? And the sense I have is that perhaps God wants to bring you back to that fireplace and restore it, to restore you and to redeem you in that place of shame. And if that's you, we'd love for you to just click on the QR code that we have here. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love for you to receive God's forgiveness and receive God's liberation. You know, Jesus perhaps also asking us today, if there's anything that we love more than Jesus, how can we release these things that we love more than Jesus to God? How can we find that love and receive that love that only God can give? If God has put something in your heart, perhaps God is challenging you to just release that to Him right now. And as I've been sharing, as I've been praying, if there's anything whatsoever that God is challenging you, that is challenging you to seek community, to seek prayer, we'd love for you to take that step of faith and get in touch with us through the website or through the prayer website and find people that accept you and love you with the love that God has for you. And hopefully as you encounter that love, you encounter the restoring power of Jesus' resurrection in your life. Now let me say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you love us so much that you not just accept us for who we are, for the things that we have done, for the shame and the guilt that we feel. But you love us so much that you don't want to leave us where we are, and you want to take us to a new place with a new life, with a new restoration and a new future, a new mission that you put on our lives. Oh Lord, we pray that if that's what you're challenging us today, we pray that you give us the faith to be able to take that step of faith, to be able to overcome that shame, to receive your love. And we pray that even as you overcome our shame, even as you give us a new mission, you pray that you give us a boldness, a joy, a release, a liberation, so that we can step out in confidence, a confidence that comes from you, a confidence that comes from the power of your Spirit to bring your kingdom power and restoration and liberation to those around us that need it as well. So we thank you for this time that we could hear from you. And we pray that you continue to minister to our hearts. Minister to our shame. And restore us back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's now continue in a prayerful heart as we continue to worship God now.